listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back into a brand new episode of the show. It is Friday, May 29th, from the South Stands to the end zone. You are Locked On Broncos. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You guys can follow me on Twitter, at Cody Rourke NFL. You can follow the show at Locked On Broncos, and make sure that you guys hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast provider, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. We hope you're well on today's episode of the show, brought to you by our good friends over there at Built Bar. I'll tell you a little bit later on in the show about how you can get $10 off your first order today at BuiltBar.com. What do you got to do to be able to get that? Stay tuned for a little bit more details. But on today's episode of the show, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go through our Broncos and NFL bits from around the league. We're going to take a look at some of the rule changes the NFL proposed. One of those ideas by the Denver Broncos was tabled. What does it mean for that rule? Is it dead in the water, or is there a chance it could make its way at some point in the NFL in the near future? Plus, the NFL EA Sports, they agreed to a multi-year deal to bring an exclusive simulation-style football game to your consoles that you all play. We talk about the implications of that and much more, and we answer fan questions on today's episode of Fan Friday here on Locked On Broncos. So let's kick things off, ladies and gentlemen, with our NFL news and Broncos bits of the day. Congratulations to Alexander Johnson and his fiance for giving birth to a healthy baby girl, and right tackle Juwan James for giving birth to a healthy son. Obviously, a huge accomplishment. Being a father, being a family man is very important, and those two guys are there going to do phenomenal in their journey as football players, but also as fathers. So major congratulations to them at the start of today's episode of the show. But the NFL and EA Sports, it's in the game. They have agreed to a multi-year deal, which will bring Madden back to consoles. Well, I mean, it didn't go anywhere, but they're bringing it to consoles for the next 5 to 6 years overall in a multi-year deal. And this is going to bring $1 billion to EA Sports, but it's also going to bring $500 million to NFL players for using their image and their likeness, so on and so forth. And there's a new Xbox console coming out, new PlayStation console coming out, so the next generation of consoles and graphics and everything like that are definitely going to play an impact in how we play the game of sports on a video game system going forward. And I know for Madden NFL, I know a lot of fans were hoping that 2K would take over the NFL exclusive rights, because that deal was up with EA Sports this year, except now the Broncos, they re-upped their agreement with EA Sports to bring this back for a multi-year deal. However, 2K is going to be creating an NFL style of game. However, it's not going to be a simulation style. And what is simulation, you're asking? It's where you have the on-field product that is currently with Madden, right? You can play teams, you can play exhibition, you can play franchise head-to-head, and it's authentic 11-on-11, the best possible football experience possible, closest to the real thing. That's going to be exclusively through EA Sports. Now, 2K, they have obtained licensing rights to an arcade style of game. So what is an arcade style of game in comparison to a simulation style? Well, arcade is more like NFL Street. Now, we know that 2K has evolved. They've got rid of the WWE 2K series. They're going to be doing an arcade style game with the WWE game going forward. And this is almost what you can expect to see with the NFL game. My hope is that they bring back an arcade style game like NFL Street. If 2K could bring back NFL Street, I have zero complaints. I will buy that, and I will buy Madden. I know a lot of people are frustrated with Madden. Look, I complain a lot about Madden as well, and it's the same game every single year with new features, new facelifts, new renovations, so on and so forth. I get it. I complain about it, but yet I buy it. And I think that Madden 20 was a great one. And I also wanted to remind you guys that we're actually going to be doing the 2020 NFL Madden regular season simulation for the Denver Broncos. We got the updated roster, Drew Lock, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, all the defensive additions. They are on the roster here, and we're running the simulation. Right now, the Broncos, they're 1-2 to start the season. They lost their first two games against Tennessee and the Pittsburgh Steelers. They beat Tampa Bay and Tom Brady in Week 3, and then now they're going to play the New York Jets Thursday Night Football. Then they're going to play the New England Patriots, and then they're going to host the Miami Dolphins. These games, the commentary provided by me will be provided on the YouTube channel, Cody Rourke NFL, this Sunday. You do not want to miss out on that action. Broncos country, get in on the action. But here's the deal. EA Sports, Madden NFL, that is definitely something that's had a lot of tenure over the course of the years. And I know that people want a competition, but I think that if the NFL listens, or if EA Sports listens to the fan base about an authentic football experience, my hope is that they'll listen. Now, this has been a concern for many, many years, and I certainly understand frustration there, but Broncos fans, NFL fans, we have nothing that we can do because this is a deal that's been signed multi-year in paper. So we're going to have to deal with Madden NFL for the next 5 to 10 years, and possibly, hopefully it gets better. Hopefully it becomes more customizable experience for all of us that play it. I also wanted to talk about some NFL rule changes that have happened. The Denver Broncos, John Elway, they proposed an idea where instead of an onside kick attempt, if you're trying to do that, teams can elect to take a 4th and 15 and they have to convert that. If they convert the first down, they retain possession of that ball and have a chance to possibly win or tie a game up late in the series. Now, what we've seen in the NFL, the onside kick, the success rate has not been very good. Atlanta last year, they had 3 successful onside kicks in one game. Very, very rare. I mean, that's like the equivalent of a solar eclipse based on how the NFL rules have garnished what the onside kick can look like and player safety and how they factor that in there. So the NFL, they gave an update on Thursday about new playing rules and bylaws. And so for the approved 2020 playing rule summary, Article 2 says, stated by Philadelphia to amend Rule 15, Section 2, to make permanent the expansion of automatic replay reviews to include scoring plays and turnovers negated by a foul and any successful or unsuccessful try attempt. So if there's a pass interference call, they might be able to look at that. If there's a turnover and there was pass interference, they can look at that and overturn it. That's what the NFL is looking at there. They got to be better at that. Troy Vincent came out and said that the NFL, they did a very bad job. They failed when it comes to the officiating review on pass interference, and they got to be better. So I like the accountability that we've seen there, but still, that's not enough. Article number 8 here says, by competition committee, expands defenseless player protection to a kickoff or punt returner who is in possession of the ball but who has not had time to avoid or ward off the impending contact of an opponent. This to me is a problem area, because now a returner has a chance to feel the ball and make a move before you, as a guy who's running downfield, as a gunner in coverage, you have to wait for them to make a move in order for you to be able to make contact with them and hit them. So for example, you know what we've seen with Matthew Slater of the Patriots, what we used to see with Kayvon Webster in Denver, if a guy is going to field the ball and you hit him right away as soon as he fields it, that's now going to be considered a defenseless hit on a defenseless receiver. I absolutely do not like this rule, because think about it. You allow a guy like Tyreek Hill, who has a punt returner, you got to allow him to make one move before you can actually make contact with him. I think it sets a dangerous precedent in the National Football League, and I'm not a big fan of this rule change right here. Article number 9 says, by the competition committee, prevents teams from manipulating the game clock by committing multiple dead ball fouls while the clock is running. This is something that you use in Madden. They call it griefing. And I haven't seen much of that in the NFL, so it's interesting that they brought that up. And an approved 2020 bylaw summary says, by league office, it increases the number of players that may be designed for the return from 2 to 3 players, incorporates interpretations applicable to bye weeks during the regular season and the postseason. So now, if you have 3 players on IR designated to return, rather than bringing 2 off, which is the limit in 2019, teams can now bring 3 players off of IR and designate them to return for the 2020 season. I do like that rule. They would have had Drew Lock, they would have had Tim Patrick last year, and I can't remember the other player that they had on IR that they could have brought back, but they were not able to, due to the fact they could only bring off 2. I think it was Jake Butt as one of those guys there. That was the discussion at the early point of the 2019 season. So interesting rule changes for the Denver Broncos. But yes, as you said, John Elway and the Broncos' idea of a 4th and 15, that has been tabled for further discussion by the NFL and the competition committee. So coming up here in just a moment, Broncos Country, we're going to get into the action with listeners all across Broncos Country on YouTube and on Periscope and a live Ask Me Anything session. We engage with the listeners in Broncos Country. But before we do that, I got to tell you about the sponsor of today's episode of Locked On Broncos. That's our good friends over there at Built Bar. And I want to give a quick shout out to my man David Hyman. He sent me a text message with a picture of peanut butter brownie Built Bars. He says, I just got my Built Bars, immediately throwing them in the freezer to enjoy. He puts them in the fridge, he puts them in the freezer. He says it's the best healthy snack that he's had here. And so with today's episode of Lockdown Broncos, our good friends over there at Built Bar have a very great deal for you, because Built Bars, they are tasty. They're a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar, and they feature 16 amazing flavors. And they have new flavors coming and going all throughout the month of May and June. The bars, they're covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew, but I like it when you put it in the freezer and it's got a little bit of a hard chew to it, and it tastes even more phenomenal. So if you don't like your chocolate melted at all, or if you're one of those people who have warm hands, put your Built Bar in the freezer for about an hour, take it out, and enjoy it. I promise you, it is game-changing, because Built Bar, they are healthy for you as well. They help you lose and maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat, because the bars, they are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, and high-fiber. My favorite, as mentioned, is the Peanut Butter Brownie Built Bar. And today, you can get your own box of Peanut Butter Brownie Built Bar or a different flavor out of the 16 amazing flavors by going to BuiltBar.com and using promo code LOCKEDON, that's all one word, and you can get $10 off your first order today. Once again, use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. All right, Broncos country, getting into our discussion here on Fan Friday with the amazing listeners here in the chat on YouTube and on Periscope, and a lot of great questions, a lot of great insight. We're going to start off here. We have Nick Kenska. He says, my man, super stoked for the show. This is my first time watching live, and Nick, I promise you, if this is your first time, man, you're in for a treat. Thank you for joining in. Buckle in your seatbelt and stay strapped into the Locked On Broncos podcast. And he says, who are the young and up-and-comers at the linebacker position on this roster, particularly at cover linebacker? Nick, this is a great question. You know, when you go back and you look at the Broncos linebacker depth, we talk about Todd Davis, we talk about Alexander Johnson, and those guys have been actually been pretty good at coverage. Alexander Johnson, very good at coverage. Todd Davis, pretty good at coverage, contrary to the narrative that a lot of people say, because I was in a little bit of a Twitter argument with some people on social media, and they were saying that Todd Davis and the Broncos linebackers, they can't cover tight ends. Well, the Broncos' responsibility for tight ends is not on the inside linebacker. You have the inside linebacker primarily playing coverage on a running back. That was their main coverage responsibility in 2019 in Vic Fangio's defense. Now, if you add a tailback to the left side, Todd Davis is playing coverage on the tailback to the left side. Alexander Johnson is either going to be blitzing from the right side, or he's going to be dropping to a hook curl zone for any kind of crossing patterns underneath. They are not lined up in one-on-one coverage with tight ends. So I think that, you know, Todd Davis entering the final year of his contract in Denver, he's going to be a big portion of their defense in 2020. Same thing with Alexander Johnson. Behind them, you have Josh Watson, who started the first couple of games for the Broncos last season, and he's a guy that Vic Fangio views as a project, wants to develop him further. He got some early on experience, like I said, the first few weeks of the NFL regular season. He got a lot of action in the NFL preseason. Behind him, you have Justin Hollins from Oregon. He's a hybrid outside backer, inside backer type player. The idea was to play him a little bit at dime backer in 2019. However, the Broncos didn't really play much of a dime package at all in 2019. They may go to that in 2020, as Vic Fangio mentioned, at the NFL scouting combine. So if they go dime package, expect to see a little bit of Justin Hollins there. Justin Sternad, in my opinion, is going to be a key special teams guy. But who knows? He could really come into training camp and really impress. And obviously, Coach Reggie Herring is going to be a good guy on evaluating that. He understands talent and how to evaluate it. He's been a coach. He was on the Super Bowl 50 winning roster for the Denver Broncos alongside Coach Kalar on the defensive line. So I think that you have a lot of guys right there and some young guys that have some promise to be able to play that position at inside linebacker, Nick. So thank you for your questions there. Our good friend Robert says, I love DeMarcus Walker. He was done wrong by Vance Joseph and had the short end of the stick with injuries, and hopefully all this depth on the defensive line doesn't make him the odd man out. I just did a film review on DeMarcus Walker on the YouTube channel, Cody Rourke NFL, and I tell you what, for a guy who is a role player, who saw some significant minutes at the beginning part of the season, and once he came back from injury, from that shoulder injury, he got back onto the football field once again. He made an impact for this Broncos team. He's a technician. He's a guy that was widely underutilized when the Broncos drafted him and Vance Joseph moved him to outside backer. That was criminal, because it really set DeMarcus Walker back a little bit in his NFL career. However, in 2019, he moved back to the defensive line, and Coach Kalar got a lot out of him. Vic Fangio saw a lot out of him, and he was able to make a lot of plays. Now, he finished 2019 with 6 sacks in just 10 games and 220 snaps. I mean, that is ridiculous efficiency when you look at it under a microscope. And on film, I mean, he's got violent hands, he's separating, and he can shed blocks very quickly. He's very strong, and he was one of the better Broncos run defenders when he's in there early on. There was a play against the Green Bay Packers. It was on my Bradley Chubb film review that I did. But both Bradley Chubb and DeMarcus Walker absolutely destroyed Aaron Jones in the goal line on one of those plays, and he's phenomenal in terms of being able to shoot a gap quickly. So DeMarcus Walker, despite the additions of McTelvin Najim, despite Shelby Harris coming back on a one-year deal, despite they bringing in Jarrell Casey for that matter, I do believe that DeMarcus Walker is going to have a big role in this Broncos defense. Now, McTelvin Najim, this could be a redshirt year for Najim out of Arkansas, and I think that it's not a bad idea, because look, Shelby Harris back on a one-year deal. Jarrell Casey, 30 years old. If the Broncos want to be able to get out of that contract, it's pretty easy for them to be able to do so. So you have two guys right there that you could factor in. DeMarcus Walker, if he plays well in 2020, he could play himself into a contract extension. And it's always great to have, because look, the Broncos found out the necessarily impact of not having a lot of depth on the defensive line. Once Derek Wolfe went out last year, once guys got banged up, I mean, they were really tested on their defensive line depth, and it really impacted their on-field play. And for a guy like DeMarcus Walker, he is a guy that absolutely, I think when he's on the football field, he makes an impact. And Von Miller has been talking him up this offseason, and Vic Fangio definitely has a lot of belief in him. So keep an eye on DeMarcus Walker for sure, Robert. I think that's a great observation there. If you guys want to check out the film review on D. Walker, go to YouTube right now and check it out today. MMK20 in the chat says, will Von Miller continue to fall off, or will he make a bounce back season? Von Miller didn't fall off in 2019. You know, I know when a lot of people are looking at the stat book there, they're looking at the 8 sacks. The 8 sacks does not mean that he has fallen off. And I did a film review on Von Miller, which I also encourage you guys to go check out. Von Miller did not fall off. I mean, he literally was playing at an elite level as an edge run defender and also as an edge pass rusher. And once Bradley Chubb tore his ACL, he saw more attention by offenses. They were able to commit more double teams and triple teams once Bradley Chubb was injured. But think about all the productivity that happened to the Broncos defense opposite of Von Miller. And it was because he saw so much attention. We saw Derek Wolfe get 7 sacks in 12 games. We saw Marcus Walker gets 6 sacks in 10 games. We saw Malik Reed get sacks. We saw Shelby Harris get 6 sacks. We saw Draymond Jones get sacks. We saw other guys off the edge. We saw Justin Hollins get there. The Broncos had a lot of guys that stepped up, and they were able to get after the quarterback. So I don't necessarily think Von Miller fell off. I'd say that Von Miller in 2019, he still played at a pretty elite level, but he also created more opportunities for the other players on the interior of the defensive line and also on the opposite side of the pass rush for him, because a lot of those teams that were game planning, they didn't know what to expect from guys like Malik Reed or Jeremiah Atauchu or Shelby Harris. They didn't really have a lot to expect there. The key was, where is 58 at? And I think that is the biggest thing you got to take a look at when all things are considered in this conversation. So yeah, definitely don't agree. I don't think Von Miller fell off in the year 2019. Nick Kenska says, in your opinion, what is the most difficult position on this defense to learn and become proficient at? You know, I think when I've talked to a couple Broncos players, I talked to Justin Simmons at training camp, and I had a chance to ask him about learning the defense. And I would say that based on all the positions here on this Broncos defense side and a 3-4 scheme, the free safety position where Justin plays is probably one of the toughest, one of the most demanding, because your guy at the free safety position, he has to probably be the smartest guy on the football field. And luckily for the Denver Broncos, they do have the smartest guy on the football field there in Justin Simmons. He was the quarterback of the defense, getting guys aligned right, you know, checking audibles based on formations, and he's got to know the position, he's got to know the responsibility and how his position responsibility changes based on some of the moving pieces that happen there. So I'd have to say the free safety position, you got to have a guy there, because look, I mean, I think that Joe Woods, they didn't know how to utilize Justin Simmons to what Justin Simmons could do. I mean, they had him playing corner, they had him playing in the slot, they had him playing strong, they had him playing free. He didn't have a chance to really just sit back there and roam the way that, you know, we saw the first season, he, you know, as a rookie, where he climbed the ladder to intercept an Amari, a pass intended for Amari Cooper in the EJ Manuel game where Derek Carr got hurt by Derek Wolfe, and I believe it was the 2017 season. We didn't see that from Justin Simmons there, because the defensive coaching staff didn't put him in that position to be successful. I think Ed Donatell and Vic Fangio have done for the Denver Broncos and for Justin Simmons. Broncos Country, we're going to continue this conversation here on Fan Friday with the amazing listeners in Broncos Country. But after this podcast, I got to encourage you guys to go check out the Locked On NFL podcast hosted by Matt Williamson and Brian Peacock. They're going around the National Football League right now with the local experts on the Locked On NFL Network to learn a little bit more about what's going on with the teams that they cover in their respective markets. All right, Broncos Country, continuing our Fan Friday conversation here, answering questions from the amazing listeners in Broncos Country. White Boy Rasta says, who do you think will be the biggest key to the offense to succeed? You know, I think it's cliche to say this, but I think quarterback, right? Drew Lock, you know, he's got the traits. He's definitely got the traits here, but I think that for the offense to succeed, for them to put up more points, to them to be able to be successful on third down and also in the red zone, it starts with the quarterback. It also starts with the coaches too, right? The offensive coordinator, the quarterback coach Mike Shula, and Pat Shurmur, the offensive coordinator. But look, the Broncos, they went around and they surrounded Drew Lock with all these weapons and all this talent. And if they don't succeed, there is a big, big issue in my head. I don't know what it could be, but I would be very, very shocked sitting here today on May 29th, months ahead of the season being able to start, and I would be very shocked if the Broncos offense doesn't have success based on all the weapons and the talent that they've added. I do think they have a coaching staff in place with a very young offensive roster that I think can make things happen. You know, you always worry about when you have a young team that they're going to have to go through the motions. I also want to be very critical here. The Denver Broncos, they open up, the first 5 weeks of the season are very, very difficult. It doesn't get easy for them because they're playing some tough defenses, and for a young offense, you may be still trying to learn some things, but you're going to open up against the Tennessee Titans defense, which is very tough. Then you're going to play week two against a tough Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Then you're going to play in week three, you're going to play Tampa Bay, a very tough defense there. And then week four, you got a short turnaround, and that Jets defense could be tough depending on if Jamal Adams is still on the football team. And then week four, you got to go to New England and play a very tough Patriots defense. Week five, you come back and play Miami. They've kind of reloaded up on defense. And then you got to play Kansas City week seven, and they have a pretty tough defense right now on paper. They got better there. If Juan Thornhill comes back healthy, they are a very strong defense in that back end of that secondary. And who knows about the, you know, Frank Clark situation, Chris Jones, who knows how that whole situation is going to play out. But yeah, it's going to be tough. So the Broncos offense, I think Broncos fans should enter with tempered expectations. You know, they're not going to come in. I mean, hopefully, you know, if they were to come in and throw up 37 points per game, that's phenomenal. Great. I'd be very happy. I think Broncos fans would be very happy. But if they're struggling early on, I'd say let them find their mojo, because it's going to take some time. And we factor into if, you know, teams can't report yet and training camp, let's say it gets delayed or doesn't happen, then I really do worry about chemistry and timing and being able to get the playbook, the reps on the field. Those are so critical, and they haven't been able to get that just yet. So keep an eye on that, Broncos country, when it comes to the offense, the expectations, maybe what to have here for them overall. Anthony Hall says, what do you think the plan is for Royce Freeman? I think that they're going to have competition at running back three. Anthony, you know, they bring in Kalfani Muhammad, who was one of the better backs in preseason last year for Denver. They bring in Levante Bellamy as an undrafted free agent who the team really, look, he's a surprise. You know, he was in a lot of draft guides. He was one of those players they were expected to pick up maybe in round six or seven, and it doesn't really equate to how valuable Levante Bellamy could be, and I think that they're going to push Royce Freeman. Now, like I said, I would still be shocked if Royce Freeman isn't on the football team in 2020. You know, like I said, in his first year, he had 500 yards. Second year, he had 500 yards. So there's some consistency there, but I think the frustration boils down to the utilization, and we didn't really see that smash and dash combination that we were hoping to see that we saw early on in the 2018 season, his rookie year, when Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman had a very phenomenal game against the Kansas City Chiefs. They lost on Monday Night Football. But that's the thing with Royce Freeman. He dealt with some injuries last year. If he's healthy, look, he's going to come in. He's got a chip on his shoulder. And I'm excited to see what Royce can do. I'm a big Royce Freeman supporter, a big advocate for Royce Freeman. So, you know, I think competition could be good for him, though, at the running back three position for this Broncos offense overall. Nick Kenska says, where does Drew Lock need to grow the most to take that leap in year two? Drew Lock appeared on the Bob Menery podcast, and he had a lot of great insight because they asked him this question about what do they think is the weakest part of his game? And Drew Lock said, you know, I could do better on my decision making, be more consistent. And I like that answer. It's very firm. His mechanics have improved, and his decision making, you could see some of the bad decisions early on in the season, the first three games or so. But after that, he really started to process the field a lot faster. You know, he was looking at his reads, he was looking at safeties, inside backers, the alignment of the corners, and he was making smarter decisions based on the coverage, and he was going through his reads and his progressions, which is amazing, because guess what, you have a quarterback that goes through his reads and his progressions, he knows his landmarks, he knows where to adjust, where the route's supposed to be, based on if that safety's either, you know, 5 yards above the threshold across the crossing pattern there, or if he's cheated down, or if he comes up into the box, you know, where does that route adjust, and where is he going to locate there, how does he do it when he's got pressure coming into his face? That's where we saw Drew Lock really take strides. So he says decision making, I think that's a great way to start for him, and certainly if he can build on how he finished in 2019, I think the Broncos are going to be in very, very good hands. Our next question comes in from MXNB. Says, what do you think about Tim Patrick potentially starting in the slot over KJ Hamler? This is an interesting question, because I don't necessarily believe that, you know, if one guy starts over the other, that it means the other guy's not going to play. Look, Tim Patrick, in my opinion, he's going to play a big role for the Broncos in 2020. Now, if he starts opposite of Cortland Sutton, and let's say he plays a little bit in the slot, look, KJ Hamler's still going to rotate and get some reps in the slot as well, and even on the outside. They're going to do a lot. They're going to rotate a lot of these wide receivers. They're not just going to keep three wide receivers on the roster because they run a three wide receiver set. They're more than likely going to keep maybe potentially six guys, seven if you factor in guys that play special teams. So they have a lot of position guys that they're going to bring into the table for the 2020 season on the active roster. So I think both guys are going to play a lot of football, to be honest with you, my friend. Nick Maloney says, assuming they keep three tight ends, who do you think is the third after Noah Fan Albert O? I think they're going to keep four tight ends. I think that Nick Vinette, because he signed him to a two-year deal in free agency, you're not going to cut him after not even a year, not even, you know, 3 or 4 months. You're not even going to do that. So it's going to be Albert Okwuegbunam. It's going to be Noah Fant, Nick Vinette, and I think that Jeff Heirman, Andrew Beck, Jake Butt, Troy Fumagalli, those guys are going to be competing for that fourth tight end spot. Even Austin Fort, throw him into the mix there too. Those guys are going to be competing for that fourth tight end spot, and I think that's what the Broncos are really going to go with, is four tight ends. But I think three of them are set. I think the fourth spot is up for grabs, and I think it's really going to boil down to Andrew Beck and Jeff Heirman as being the finalists for being favorites for that tight end four position and having a role to play, because the Broncos offense, Pat Shurmur will utilize tight ends differently. He'll have inline guys, but then he'll also have guys that he's going to flex out, like Noah Fant, Albert Okwuegbunam, guys guys, in my opinion, I feel like can be flexed out inside the slot or on the outside. And then guys like Nick Vannett, you're going to bring in, you know, heavy run situations where you want to block, and he's going to be the inline tight end. Jeff Heuermann could also be the same inline tight end. So I think there's a lot of different ways the Broncos can utilize four tight ends, and I think we're going to see that in the 2020 NFL season. We're going to get to a couple more here, Broncos country. Travis Steiner says, with COVID-19 affecting the offseason, should Broncos fans temper their expectations a little bit on a promising upcoming season? You know, I think it all goes back to chemistry early on. We were talking about that a little bit ago here on the show. I think every NFL team right now is experiencing this issue. Now, is it going to be a long-term issue that affects all 32 teams? Some teams may click a lot easier and a lot faster than maybe some of the other teams. You know, like I mentioned, the Broncos have a young offensive roster. It may take some time for them to click, but defensively, I think the Broncos are going to be good, because a lot of those guys are primarily returning. A lot of these guys are having an opportunity to learn through the virtual Zoom meetings what the scheme is. So I think the Broncos are in a good position fairly, but like I said, it's way too early at this time to be able to tell and to dictate where things may go. Two more here on the Lockdown Broncos podcast. Zach Gottlieb says, Netani Muti played some tackle in college. Could you see the possibility of him getting reps at offensive tackle? I don't know if that's going to happen in 2020. I think maybe in 2021, because look, the Broncos, if Garrett Bowles, this is his last year on the contract, if he doesn't play himself into an extension, and if the Broncos don't find themselves in a position to be able to pick a top left tackle like a guy like Penei Sewell out of Oregon in next year's NFL draft, then I do believe that maybe Netani Muti could be a project guy there. But I think he's going to develop. He's going to redshirt. He's going to be a depth guy, but I don't think he's going to play at all in 2020. He definitely has the ability to do so. He played left tackle in 2018 for Fresno State, and then in 2019, they moved him to left guard. I'm not quite sure why they did that. I got to do a little bit more research there and maybe find out why they did that. But that was an interesting move there, so I'm eager to find out a little bit more. And once I hear, I will let you guys know here on the podcast. Higher Learnings here on the YouTube chat says, do you think if they only allow 50% or 30% of fans that ticket prices will be raised accordingly? This is a great question. You know, for me, really, this is uncharted territory. I'm not quite sure, because I'm not in the sales, the marketing department for the NFL right now in terms of tickets. I mean, you look at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. I mean, some of the nosebleed tickets are going for $3,000 right now because it's a new stadium. It's in a highly, highly luxurious area in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's going to be a heavy tourist attraction. So there's going to be tremendous supply and demand. But for a 50% capacity, if that were the case, if the NFL decided to do that, I don't know if they'll raise ticket prices. They might have to, considering the fact that they're going to lose a lot of money, considering if they lose 50% of the audience in the stands, you know, you're going to have to make up for that. So, I mean, part of me says economically they would raise ticket prices, but the good humanitarian side of me says I don't know if they would do that, considering the fact that many people might be in hardships right now. So there's a lot of different things that go into that, but I'm not quite sure. But that's a great question, my friend. I appreciate it. And Broncos country, I appreciate you guys for tuning in to today's episode of Lockdown Broncos here on this beautiful Friday. It is hot in Colorado, so I encourage you guys to be safe this weekend. Make sure you guys stay hydrated. Make sure you guys stay locked on to the podcast. Make sure you guys please go to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Hit that subscribe button. And if you love Lockdown Broncos, please do me a favor. It would mean the absolute world to me if you guys would go to Apple Podcasts. If you would write a review for the show, if you love Lockdown Broncos, leave us a 5-star review. Tell us why you love listening every single day. What does Lockdown Broncos do for you? And I appreciate you guys. We'll give you a shout out here on the Lockdown Broncos podcast. But Broncos country, that will do it for today's episode of the show. We'll be back next week with some interviews and hopefully some happenings. There are some rumblings that the NFL will allow some head coaches and coaching staffs to maybe return to their facilities starting next week. So that could be good news. We talked about it. The NFL possibly looking at mini camp in mid-June to late June for NFL teams. So maybe the Broncos can get back on the football field next month. So obviously a lot we'll talk about going into next week's episodes of Lockdown Broncos here on the Lockdown NFL Network. I'm Cody York, your host of today's episode of the show. Have a good one. Stay safe, Broncos country. Always appreciate you.